referring to the Amnesty report, it says there's a flow of military weapons from China, Sudan and Ukraine, triggering indiscriminate attacks in South Sudan. Would you say it is actually the continuing supply of weapons that is causing the attacks?
The continued supply is enabling the attacks to carry on. Amnesty has documented these irresponsible supplies and the misuse of the weapons by both the South Sudan armed forces and armed opposition groups, which is resulting in civilian casualties and thousands of people being displaced in South Sudan. For example, we've documented new Chinese-made T-72 landmines. These are anti-vehicle mines, so they're not prohibited under the Ottawa Treaty. And these have been laid in the Greater Upper Nile region of South Sudan by the armed opposition group, the South Sudan Liberation Army. They have grave consequences for the civilians. On the 9th of October in 2011, 20 people, including 4 children, were killed when an anti-vehicle landmine was detonated by the bus they were traveling on.
So, Helen, you're saying that the current arms trade treaty is not being respected. What kind of treaty is it?
Well, at the moment, there isn't actually a treaty, but in a matter of a few days, world leaders will gather in New York at the United Nations to begin negotiations on a global arms trade treaty. World leaders can stop the massive human suffering that is being fueled by the global arms trade. Now, for example, at least 60% of the human rights violations that Amnesty International documents in a 10-year study involved the use of small arms and light weapons. And these findings are supported by evidence from the UN and other organizations as well.
As you mentioned, on Monday, the world leaders are gathering for the arms trade treaty negotiations at the UN in New York. Does Amnesty have a message for them, and what kind of treaty are you calling for?
Amnesty International wants a global arms trade treaty with strong rules to save lives and protect human rights. Now, what that means is we want a golden rule on human rights that will stop an arms transfer where there is a substantial risk that it will be used to commit or facilitate serious violations of international human rights law or international humanitarian law. We want a comprehensive scope on all conventional arms, so not just those used in military operations, but those also used for internal security law enforcement operations. If you look at what's been happening across the Middle East and North Africa in 2011, this is particularly important. And we also want a robust implementation and enforcement mechanisms to ensure that the treaty has teeth.
Helen, I was reading the synopsis of the report and is mentioned a clandestine delivery of battle tanks from the Ukraine to South Sudan involving transfers via Kenya and Uganda and including shipping companies from Germany, Ukraine, the UK and the Isle of Man. Does this mean that all those mentioned are not only compliant but they're also making money on the trade?
The problem with this particular case, as it's been highlighted, it shows a lack of controls, particularly over the transportation of arms shipments. Now, this is a problem which pervades both national controls and also some of the parameters of the EU arms embargo. Again, with the arms trade treaty, we would want to make sure that all actual sort of stages of an arms shipment, including the companies that are involved in shipping the arms, is also regulated to a high standard.
Seeing the enormous amounts of money involved in the arms trade, there are bound to be problems on Monday. But are you hopeful that these negotiations will actually result in a good and binding agreement?
We are hopeful in that there are a good many states across the world regions who do want to negotiate a strong treaty. Many of the governments in sub-Saharan Africa, particularly those countries that are blighted by the impact of irresponsible arms transfers, countries across Latin America, for example, as well, are in favor of negotiating a strong arms trade treaty. Obviously, there's a big players like China, Russia, and the US who are going to wield influence on the negotiations. Today, we actually have a global day of action with lots of popular campaigning stunts, and we're trying to really raise awareness among the public and across the media about the importance of ordinary people making sure that they demand their governments play a positive and progressive role at the United Nations when it comes to the negotiation of this treaty.
So we can all do something, right?
Yes, indeed. There is events taking place, there is petitions, there is publicity stunts, and it's about making sure that people are aware of what exactly is happening.
You're absolutely right. I didn't know there was no arms treaty in place, and it's quite shocking. I know there's a cluster bomb ban that has been approved, but I thought that applied to all arms.
No, there is the convention prohibiting cluster munitions. There's also, obviously, the anti-personnel landmine treaty, but there isn't a global treaty regulating all conventional arms. And we're talking about your small arms, assault rifles, pistols, revolvers, through to your grenade launchers, through to your artillery, and through to your bigger weapon systems, such as tanks, aircraft, fighter jets, helicopters, vehicles, and all the accompanying kind of munitions that are being used for those different types of weapons. We want a treaty that will cover all of those so that they are strictly regulated.
Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
That the end of the negotiations will be in the end of July, but throughout the whole month of July, we'll be lobbying and campaigning for this and calling on all supporters around the world to make sure that their governments are behind a strong treaty.